Okay, the first section of Trumas HaMaisris, which we're in the middle of, is to delineate the places that are chayiv. We discussed the ownership of a guy, etc., which was the first five sifim, and this continues till and including Sif Yud Beis. In Sif Dalet, which is really the primary din, we learned that if a guy grows peiris in Eretz Yisrael, that it's potter from Trumas HaMaisris, which is a chiddush, because really, ein kinyan la'akum lafkia, a guy is not mafkia kedushas Eretz Yisrael by owning the land. We said, the gancha v'loy dogan akum. We had a special miut by Trumas HaMaisris that excluded the dogan of a guy from being chayiv. Based on that, we said that if a non-Jew owns land and grows crops in Eretz Yisrael, the Ptur is only if the non-Jew did everything, all the way down till Miruach, and was nikvah totally for Trumas HaMaisris, and not if the Jew took hold of it and the Jew finished the processing of everything that took place. So here, thank you. Here, there's an interesting dispute that took place in Eretz Yisrael in 1948, around this time, when the War of Independence ended, which was not on Yom HaTzmaut. HaTzmaut was the beginning of the war, a very strange time to celebrate victory. But it happened a couple of weeks later when there was an armistice and the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael were defined, of modern Israel were defined, and
they were attacked.
Yeah, at the Day of Independence when the war started. The war started then. What was it? 49. Okay, I'm sorry. The regime is the beginning. Yeah, fine. Okay. I mean, it's not the day to say howl. That's what I mean. In the beginning of the war, you say sliches. At the end of the war, you know. But anyway, my point is not that. My point is that there are a number of tshuvas printed regarding fields that the Arabs had planted, and when they ran away, the Jews took over those fields. Whether those fields were chayiv and Trumas HaMaisris. So in the Chayiv, it's the ownership of a Jew when they took it over. So then it's Chayiv, because then the Miruach and the Onus HaMaisris was Biyad Yehudi. At that time, the Rishon Letzion, the Rav Roshi Asfardi of Eretz Yisrael, was Rav Uziel, Rav Benzion Uziel. And he at that time paskined that all of those, all of the Peiris, Ilanis, he was talking for whatever reason, were potter from Trumas HaMaisris, because the government said that they were holding on to it for the Arab owners. For the Arab owners, for when they returned, that's, you understand, the Arabs, when they chased, they burnt down the Jews' places in Syria and everywhere, they weren't holding it for the Jews. Well, but the Jews, they said, we're holding for the Arabs. You know, they're going to come back. So Rabbi Uziel said that God forbid they should give it back. But at any rate, they said they're holding it. Usually through a new war, they go back. Anyway, I'm not, the politics of it is not my point. So he said that that it's potter for Maisis, because the Memshala is holding it for the Goyim. And even if a Jew now goes and does the Miruach, still he's doing it all for the Goy, and the government says that the prophets are holding on for the Arabs, and it's all the Arabs and the Mela and the Benigel and Yonenu, it's potter. That was his psak. I have no idea what they actually did, but this is what they said. The Hartzvi, T. Pesach Frank, T. Pesach I think was Nifter in 53, so this is already towards the end of his life. T. Pesach Frank, I think was called, was the Rav of Yerushalayim at the time. So he, in the Har Tzvi, in the beginning of the Har Tzvi, brings the psak of Rav Uziel, the Har Tzvi on Zeraim, and he disagrees with him based on two considerations. First of all, he says the meruach of the yid is mechayiv. The meruach of the yid is mechayiv. Even if you're going to say it's a pile of the guy, the sheet is a sheet sarambam, not put in halacha as far as I know, that even a Jewish pile on, in Eretz Yisrael and a guy's tefuah is mechayiv. That's his first reason, okay, that it's called meruach Yehudi. And secondly, Gabi, what the government says, they're holding it for the Arabs. He says it's a bunch of baloney. They just don't want everybody to grab fields. So, Mimela, they're saying it. They're really going to do whatever's good for them at the end. And therefore, it's not considered an Arabs. Plus, he writes, the halach is kibush mulchamish me kibush. We learn have a pasuk in the Torah, v'yish mimenu shevi. We learn that kibush mulcham is a kinyan. And since Kibush Mocham is a Kenyan, so whether you like it or not, it becomes Shel Yehudi. Kibush Mocham is Kaina. You want to hold it for Gaim, you can hold it for Gaim. But Kibush Mocham itself has a din of a Kenyan, and that's the halacha. And therefore, he said that it's Chayiv and Shumas Umayisris, which I guess to us would seem to be the Pashtos, is that it should be Chayiv, the Yid did the Miruach. Then in such a case, it should be chayiv in the Trumas Umayisris. But it's interesting that the whole Shaila came up. And as you read through the Har Tzvi and Zeraim, you just spoil how it's one thing that the Gedolei Yisrael on their fingertips have all Hilcha Shabbos and all the halachas that they've been here Shailas on all their lives. But the Shailas of Trumas Umayisris and Bailas Gai and all the things that have to do with coming back to Eretz Yisrael, that they have all this with all the shitas, Rishayim and Achrayim on their fingertips, is something that's Mavel Harayim. It's just the godless of the Gedolei Yisrael of that generation is just incredible. What we are, they were preparing. It's unbelievable. The Chasei Nish wrote on Zeraim before he moved to Eretz Yisrael. Before he moved, I saw an incredible story. They printed a sefer, the name of the sefer, Hasvarim. We have it upstairs. A good friend of mine gave me as a gift. Has the story of all of Chaim Kanievsky's Svarim. Well, he put out many, many Svarim. It has a story of each of the Svarim. And one of them, he writes how the Chazenish chose to come to Eretz Yisrael. A political story. The Chazenish, as you know, lived in... It was in Varsha part of the time, and that wasn't really Varsha, it was a suburb of Varsha. And
I wasn't here.
That's a different story. The Rev. The kitzur of the story, I mean, is that the Chazinish lived Bitzina, it was a Godel Bitzina, and his wife ran the business, and like the Chafetz Chaim, you know, and he was. The Rav Henkin writes somewhere that he was once visiting this town where the Chazenish lived, and he was waiting for the Rav. So he was in the waiting room for the Rav, and he said there was a young man there. So he asked him, "What do you do?" He said, "I have a store." So he says, "You learn?" He said, "When I have time, I learn." That's what Chazenish said. "When I have time, I learn." So he gave him mussar that he should learn more. Then he went into the Rav, and afterwards he realized the Rav told him he's going on vacation, so he's called in this person to answer the shailas while he's gone. That was the Chazenish as a young man. So they write there that Rav Chaim Kanievsky set over in the Emir of Greinemann, that the Chafetz Chaim had said to about the Chazenish. He met him once, he said, that if he's going to stay Bitsina, he's also Litenis Adin. Some lashon like that. And the Chazenish stayed where he was. One night his sister came to him. She said she had a dream, and in the dream the Chazenish was in a chariot that was traveling, and he was ringing a bell. He was ringing a bell as he was traveling. The Chazenish said, "Okay, we're going to Eretz Yisrael." They went to Eretz Yisrael, and he undertook... took to be more of a public figure. The Gemara says by the dreams in Brachis that ringing a bell is a sign of Pirsum. In a dream, Tablo B'Chalayim, I think it says that it's a sign of Pirsum, and that's why he moved to Eretz Yisrael. It's fascinating. He's really spent all those years. His Bekiyas in Zeraim was incredible. They say that when people came with Shilas and Zeraim, he had them, he told us, bring me my notes when he sat and he wrote. So I don't know, it was just a tremendous matana, that whole generation to be Misader Hilchis Zeraim. Now, I have here a map of Eretz Yisrael. I made copies. I think it would be probably best if two people look on. There are about 30 or so copies here. If two people look on each one, say, I didn't make a lot of copies. It's not, I'm going to spend a lot of time on it. But in order to understand the Gevulais, Eretz Yisrael, which... it's there. It's right in right outside Yerushalayim. You see it? You have to zoom in on. So I would like to explain to you the halachis, and for some reason the Shulchan Aruch leaves it out. The Mechaber was not in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, he ended up in Eretz Yisrael, but this was written for people in a time when Yidden were not living in Eretz Yisrael that much. And this is from Rechai Knievsky's Derech Emuna. It's Rechai Knievsky's map. It says in small letters, Sirtut Aleph Yud Shin Ishkuf, whoever that is. On the bottom, it's Shalachti Dvar Manal Amayri V'chamish Lita. He sent this map to his father-in-law, Abel Yashiv. V'zet Shuvasa Yavarti Amashakasa Binyan Agvola Adoraimi Shal Eretz Yisrael. Hein Avnam Hadvorim Benuyim U'Mesuyi U'Miyusadim Amakairis Neman and Bavli Yerushalmi Tzef Tzushen Machrayinim. It's built on good Makairis. Im Kalzais L'Hairis Apizah L'Chalamaisa Halacha Mayrin Kain. Okay, so this looks to be right. He says it's hard to be makel based on it. I'll tell you what the entire discussion here is. As you know, there are numerous gevulais of Eretz Yisrael that are not consistent. Since we're such amaratzim in maps, we don't realize it. But you know that there's a Gvul Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Lech Lecha, in the Bris Ben Absarim. And that boundary, Rashi tells us right away, is the Asara Malchias, is the 10, including the Keni, the Knizi, the Kadmaini. And those are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, B'Yemaisa Mashiach. Not negei lahalacha, because the lands of the Keni, Knesi, Kadmaini were never given before Yemaisa Mashiach. Then there are the boundaries of Parshas Maaseh. Those are the main boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, the boundaries of Parshas Maaseh, and mentioned briefly also in Parshas Ekev, these boundaries. In Zayis HaBracha, again, you have boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. That's in Chumash. When you learn Nach, you learn the boundaries of Kibush Yeshua, which is very puzzling, don't match any of the boundaries in the Chumash, which I'll talk about soon. Once they get to Chis Trumas, it's called the boundaries of Oilei Mitzrayim. Oilei Mitzrayim is Yeshua through Shlaima HaMelech, who Shlaima HaMelech was the widest expansion of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. We pass in Kedusha Rishayna Loi Kitsholas and Lavei. The boundaries of the Eilei Mitzrayim, which were the widest, the 12 Shvatim, that Kedusha does not remain Las and Lavei. And Kedusha Shnia Kitsholas and Lavei. Kitsholashai Devi Kitsholas and Lavei. The Kedusha of Eilei Bavel, Eilei Bavel is Ezra, the Dizman of Ezra. That is Kedusha Shnia Kitsha L'shaita ula asid lavei. Now the Rambam says, even though that would leave a very tiny piece of Eretz Yisrael that's chayiv in Trumas or Ma'isris. The Rambam says the Gevulos Olei Mitzrayim are chayovim midrabanan, which is logical. If even Syria and Aratzis and Bavel, the Arba Aratzis Hasmuchas Eretz Yisrael chayiv midrabanan, Koshkein, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael proper of the Olei Mitzrayim are included in the chiyuv Trumas or Ma'isris midrabanan. Now, Bismana said that it's not Roiv Yisrael Alad Mosan. Everything is Drabana. And Surya is a trade Drabana. When the time will come and Roiv Yisrael will be in Eretz Yisrael, then the Gvulois of Oilei Bovel will be Dairaisa, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael will still be a Drabana. So suddenly it's going to be Nageya to us. That's a very good question. One second. I'm not trying to answer that. I'm not even sure what the answer is, but again, the Dekuda is that all the maps that you see printed everywhere are either Parashas Maaseh or the Olei Mitzrayim. Never seen published a clear map of Olei Bavel, which is much shorter. You know, at the beginning of Gittin, you know that to the north it only goes to Lako. Akko, yeah, Akko is Bichlal, is Eina Bichlal. Akko is lower than Tzfas. You know, it's lower than Tzfas is in the map. So the halacha l'maisa, there's no difference. Olei Bavel, because even the Olei Mitzrayim Achayim and Drabon, although there'll be a nafkamina when Eretz Yisrael proper will be Chayim and Atayra, there'll be nafkaminas. We'll learn today one of the nafkaminas. Now. 40, on the 14 million number, 6.75 are there. It's coming. Okay. Can you remember? But I'll tell you this.
All southern Israel, then, even if we own it, it's not counted.
Okay, let me. I want to explain something that's complicated. I'd like to explain it in two steps. First, what's Nogeya for this map itself, and then what's Nogeya for anybody who learns Nach and has to understand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. What's Nogeya to this map, the main chiddush that Rav Chaim Knievsky is trying to establish in this map is to understand the expression that says in Parshas Maaseh, and it says in Sefer Yeshua as well, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, that to the south, the boundary of Eretz Yisrael is the river of Egypt. Now, what is the river of Egypt? If you look at Rashi in Parshas Maaseh, Rashi says the Nilus. The Radak and Nach says the Nilus. Now, that's puzzling to any person. The Nilus is the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, so why take them 40 years to cross the Nilus? They should have gone across the Nilus and bang, they're in Eretz Yisrael. It's a double pella to understand what Rashi means that until the Nilus is Eretz Yisrael. I remember when Sharon crossed the Suez Canal with the army, I was thinking, oh, like Rashi, we're going to the Gevulah of Eretz Yisrael, we're going to the Nile, we're going to hit the Gevulah of Eretz Yisrael, Lashitas Rash. But the Rebbe said, don't stop. The same, as I mentioned, the same thing, the same puzzle. Is when you read Parshas Maaseh. See, we read names, blah, 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 blah. We don't know what any of these places mean. We say Chicago or Cleveland, we know what they're talking about. Any city has a baseball team, we know, we heard of it. No baseball team, forget it. You know, Columbus, Ohio is not on the map. But I remember I once went as a scholar in residence to Columbus, and a rabbi there told me, talk about anything, but don't talk about baseball. It's a sensitivity to all the people in the city that they don't have a baseball team. You believe it? They tell me, don't talk about baseball, whatever you do. So, my point is that with such Amaratza, we read in Chumash, Ara Nora Godol Nahar Pras. Great! Eretz Yisrael goes to Nahar Pras. What's Nahar Pras? Euphrates River. You visited Eretz Yisrael, they ever took you to the Euphrates River? You know what you have to get to the Euphrates? You got to go through Lebanon, up to northern Syria and into Turkey. The Har Pras enters, it actually goes at an angle, but it enters the Mediterranean all the way up in Turkey. And Anar Gadol Nahar Pras, like, what in the world is going on with Nahar Pras? And the Nilus, the whole thing is very, very difficult. Now, before I get back to Parshas Maaseh, this map in front of you, Reb Chaim Kanievsky put effort into defining Nachal Mitzrayim, not like Rashi. If you know, it's not the Nilus. And the Arishainim and Achrainim that mention, I think Sadia God mentioned Wadi al-Arish. They mention a certain number of streams. So if you look here, the dashed lines on the bottom, Reb Chaim Kanievsky here charted out the different streams that flow in the Negev. When you say they flow, they're not flowing rivers. They are different, some of them are swamps, and some of them are places that have water only this time of the year, after the rainy season. And by connecting a bunch of them, he created one or two possibilities for the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. So you see on the side it says, Nachal Mitzrayim El Arish. He's defining Nachal Mitzrayim as El Arish. It doesn't go through. So he has to find other Nachlois to connect them through as possibilities for the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael, which would mean that Eilat would be part of Chumash Maisris. I think in Shemitah, if I'm not mistaken, they hold that there's no Shemitah in Eilat. And it's based on this map, even as an approximation. Eilat is safe. It's well south of these boundaries. We don't know anything with certainty, and the Chayyad, that's why Rabbi Yosher writes on the bottom, Akati b'nei sveiko leinafkad, yova yeret tzedek. So you're right. It's very hard to know. But this is the Oiftu of the southern boundary. The northern boundary, you see the northern boundary? It's way above Akko, because we're talking here about the Eile Mitzrayim. And Tzidain is outside of, between Tyre and Sidon. Tzor, which is Tyre, is modern day Lebanon, I believe, is part of Eretz Yisrael. I think it probably should be a little higher, according to my recollection. Tyre is near Sidon, but Sidon, Tzidain is outside of the boundary. Now this is the approximate boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's important, step one, I want to explain to you that he's trying to, Reb Chaim is coming to define the southern boundary. That's why in the note on bottom, it says, Avarti amashkos b'nir ha'gvul ha'deroimi shel Eretz Yisrael. The main purpose of the map is to define a southern boundary of Eilei Mitzrayim. We're not talking about Eilei Bavel, we're talking about Eilei Mitzrayim. And then there's a northern boundary. Now, aside from Dinei Trumas u'Maisris, there are numerous problems with the map, but with almost any map that you'll find. One problem is, it says about the boundary of Zevulun, Vayarkosai al Sidon. Now, Sidon was never captured by Klal Yisrael. Sidon itself is not mentioned anywhere in Tanakh as being captured by Klal Yisrael, even at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Secondly, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are called in the Pasuk Midon Va'ad Be'er-Sheva. Now look at Be'er-Sheva on the map. There is, according to everybody, there's Eretz Yisrael below Be'er-Sheva. Now, that's the Negev. It may be that Midon Ve'ad Be'er-Sheva is where people lived in that time, and the boundaries go lower, but it may be that that's where people lived. That may be so. But in Kozeh, the expression needs needs an explanation.
But everyone agrees the other side of Yarden is zero.
Ever Yarden is for today, yeah. I think so. I shouldn't say that, I'm not sure. I don't know. But I can't say we know for certain, but I think we assume so. There are traditionally the Arba, the four holy cities of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, which we assume never changed, and they are Tzfas, Hebron, Tveri, and Yerushalayim. There's an acronym for them. I forgot that those four, the sort of holy cities of Eretz Yisrael, we assume remain the same. All four have Jewish cemeteries. That are existent for a very long time. Ramat Beit Shemesh, yeah. Beit Shemesh is known for the place where there was a magefa when the Oren was returned, Beit Shemesh. And the name Beit Shemesh comes from the fact that people who lived there bowed to the sun. That's why it was called Beit Shemesh. Very funny they take the name. What? Dabar Galias, okay. What? Which... They're historical cities. If you have a car, I don't know. What? I don't know. I don't know history of these things. I have no idea. You're right outside Shechem, yeah. Yeah, I don't say it did exist, but do we know it's the same place? I can't tell you. But traditionally, that's the assumption. Now, here is a Nakuda that is central to understanding Nach. Really, most people learn Nach. The boundaries are meaningless to us. Any time you read in Psukim or in the Gemara, cities, they're just names to us. It doesn't carry much color, much meaning. That's why whenever I learn Gemara, we mention Surah and Pompadisa and Nardo. I always mention that you heard it from me 100 times. Yeshivas were there. I try to give it a little bit of color because they're so meaningless to us. But they really do have meaning. So I'd like to share with you the following very important nekuda. There are a few points that cannot be explained without the site I'm going to share with you. Point one is the boundary of Zevulun, which I spoke about many times, and I talk about the Tcheles, which I don't want to get into again. Zevulun did not have a part of Eretz Yisrael on the Mediterranean Sea. Did not have a chelik on the Yam HaGadol. And you say, what do you mean? It says a chumish. We don't know Nach. We know chumish. And it says beferish, zavulun, l'chayf yamim yishkai. Okay. The same thing, Yarkosei al Tzidai. Zavulun's boundary is by Sidon. And again, we don't find in Yeshua, it describes the boundary, and it does not describe Tzidain as being a boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Now, you'll say, who am I to come and say such a thing? Maybe Zevulun was on the boundary. So there's a Pirush HaGra on Sefer Yeshua. The Gra wrote on things that others did not write about. In other words, most Mefarshim, plenty of Mefarshim, when you get to the boundaries, no Mefarshim. You're going to go through the six. The Gra wrote on the boundaries. And the Gra asked the Kasha that Zevulun is not L'chayf Yamin. So the Gra writes that Yeshua left a narrow strip. In Zevulun's boundary is the boundary that's mentioned. And there was a narrow strip of Zevulun that went to Tzidain. And he had like a corridor that led to Tzidain. And that was the Kiyum of the Bracha of Eisei Zaken, of Yaakov, which of course is puzzling. That's the bracha. You can have a narrow strip. It needs a hesbah. That's number one. That needs a hesbah. Number two, I think everybody in this room assumes Yeshua failed in doing everything he should have done. In other words, we know it says in Yeshua that the Canaanim remained in the land, and Yeshua didn't conquer everything. Didn't go to Nachal Mitzrayim, he didn't go to Nahar Paras. So our assumption is that Yeshua did not succeed in doing everything he had to do. If you learn Sefer Yeshua, you see it's not that way. Yeah, I believe it's Perek Yud Ches, Yeshua speaks, and he says, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us in the land was Mekuyim, Lo Nafal Davar, not one thing didn't happen. Everything God promised happened. So anyway, everything God promised, there's still Canaanim in the land. And the boundaries of Parshas Maaseh were not Mekuyim. So again, it's a second puzzle that requires some sort of an adequate explanation. Of course, the third thing is that they didn't. He did a chalukah of whole Eretz Yisrael, and what in the world happened to the chalukah? Those who got to the north. We find in Nach in Yeshua that twice, once with Don, once with Menashe. Where was Don's chelik? In which part of Eretz Yisrael?
No.
Wrong. Everybody makes the same ignorant mistake, except for those who are just doing it for a joke. Don was along the Mediterranean. Don was along the Mediterranean, but Shimshon was by the Har Yehuda. Now, listen carefully. What happened in Navi is that Shevet Dan comes to Yeshua, says, we don't have enough land for all our people. And Menashe, same thing. So what does Yeshua say to Dan? No problem, you don't have enough land. Take your army, go up north, and capture a couple of cities, and you'll have more land. That's what Dan did. Dan went. They went north of what Yeshua captured, and they captured the area of the Banyas of Tel Dan. That area Dan captured. So I'm asking you, what was Yeshua thinking? He goes through this whole dividing of the land. 7 years of Kibush, 7 years of Chalukah. The Jews are going to live here for centuries. The Jews, the Churban Bayis was 850 years after they entered. Already in his lifetime, the land is not big enough. Like, well, what's going on? Already two out of the 12 Shvatim don't have enough land to live on. Why is Yeshua thinking? The answer to all these questions is one answer. It's a pasuk that appears three times in Chumash. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, Ma'at Ma'at Agarshenu, Pentir Balech Chayas Hasadeh, that the Kibush Eretz Yisrael will be in stages, that there shouldn't be captured part of Eretz Yisrael which remains desolate, which remains empty. And it's not good. So ma'at ma'at agashenu mufanecha. I'll do ma'at ma'at. Ma'at ma'at is not 7 years. Ma'at ma'at is the way Eretz Yisrael was divided. Yeshua did everything he was supposed to do in his time. And the rest of the land was going to be captured as time went on. Just like Dan and Menashe. They needed more land because their soul was neschalik according to the Yetzei Mitzrayim. According to the size of the Shvatim they left Mitzrayim, so those who multiply more quickly needed more land, and they went. They go north and capture more land. So the kasha is, if they capture more land, why is that Eretz Yisrael? You say, Kibush Chutz L'Gvulis Eretz Yisrael is not a Kibush until you conquer the whole Eretz Yisrael. Teretz is, that's part of Etzem Eretz Yisrael. Etzem Eretz Yisrael is beyond the boundaries of Yeshua, beyond Midan Va'Be'er Sheva, all the way to Nachal Mitzrayim, to Nahar Paras. And Nahar Paras was never fully captured, which would mean that Eretz Yisrael was never fully conquered. Chaim Knievsky writes in Derech Amunah, and I saw it in one of the there's a Sefer Anach where they wrote letters to him, and he responded. They asked him, "Did Klal Yisrael ever capture all Eretz Yisrael?" So he answers that Yerushalmi is a machloikis. If you capture a city and let the goyim live there, but they pay you tribute, they pay you taxes, if that's Shmei Kibush, in the time of Shlaima, he captured till Nahar Pros, but Jews didn't settle there. He captured there that they paid mass to him. So if you hold that Shmei Kibush, then they conquered all Eretz Yisrael. If you hold like Shmei Kibush, then not. But my point is, this is aside that there was more to Eretz Yisrael. But Yarkosei al Tzidon, had Klal Yisrael ever gone to the point where they captured Tzidon, that would have been Zvulun's Chelik. L'chef Yamim Yishkoin, that was his part of the Mediterranean that was supposed to belong to Zvulun. So that's sort of the aside in Eretz Yisrael. Basically, the way the Radvaz phrases it, There's Etzem Eretz Yisrael, and there's Hilchas Eretz Yisrael. Etzem Eretz Yisrael is the whole boundary. From Nahar Pras to Nachal Mitzrayim, Megea to Dor Beretz Yisrael, and Kvura Beretz Yisrael, and some other halachas, the Tumah Veretz Amimim, all these things, whatever's Etzem Eretz Yisrael is Etzem Eretz Yisrael. It's nothing to do with Kedusha Yishayin Elokit Shalos and Lavi. Smas is Eretz Yisrael. Even though the Oile Bavel didn't go there, it's still Eretz Yisrael. Etzem Eretz Yisrael are the boundaries as they're presented in Parshas Maaseh, and certainly the Oile Mitzrayim. Dinei Eretz Yisrael are Negeya to Oile Bavel. Oile Bavel, we say, we paskin, Kedush Rishayin, the Loi Kitchos, the Lost and Lava, Legabi, the Halachis. But therefore, it's Negeya only to Hilchis, not Negeya to Kedusha. To Hilchis Eretz Yisrael, we go by the Oile Bavel, and that's why the Kedusha of the Harabayis and the Mokam HaMikdash, the Rambam says, is Kedusha Rishayna. The Rambam says Kedusha Rishayna is the Kedusha. Why? Because things after with Kedusha, Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael is from Eile Mitzrayim. It's Be'etzem, it's Guf Eretz Yisrael. It is, by definition, Eretz Yisrael. Hilchis, Shumas Amaisa, Shemitah, Arla, all the halachis that are different in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, so that is totally in Oile Bavel. That's totally in where the Jews live. It's not totally in Guf Eretz Yisrael. And Oile Bavel is for mitzvahs. Oile Bavel went up. Whatever the Oile Bavel took is Kitchelos and Lavai. But the Harbayis was Kaddish ready from before. The Atzim Kedushas Ha'eretz is Batzim. Shchin Olay Zaza.
The
Oile Bavel Mekash V'Halachis. For Dinim. So we don't have the exact boundary, but we know it was around Yerushalayim. It sounds like from the beginning of Gittin, which is talking about Bavel, till Akko, only as far north as Akko. And even Akko, it wasn't...
Whatever Kedusha they did there, they couldn't do it on the higher bites for loss of love, to remain loss of love.
The Kedusha was there, but not the Halachis. Yeah. The Kedusha Eretz Yisrael was there, always.
The
it was Kitchelos and Lavi. The Kedusha of Etzem Eretz Yisrael. And I'm Mitzrayim. The Kedusha in the sense of it having meaning.
Right.
Not Halachis, but having meaning. Like they mentioned Kvura, and they mentioned this Thredvaz is in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Dal Chavav. It says we can give Smicha. We can give Smicha. That's only in Eretz Yisrael. And Nevuah Kabichal, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. This is the site of the Radvaz, a big site. In the Shiur Reb Shmuel on Gittin, he has a shtickle, his Kufyud Beis, he has a piece based on this, Legabe Tumas Eretz Amim, which he has a shtickle Torah, that it depends on Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, not on Dine Eretz Yisrael. But wait, my point is that for Dinim, Dine Yisraim, it's Oile Bavel, Midai Raisa. For Kedusha, the Esav Kedusha, the Shechina, the Helikite of Eretz Yisrael, that's Etzem. That's certainly the Gevulah of Eretz Yisrael.
Is there any mitzvah to live in that which is Etzem but not Kedusha?
Yeah, that's what the Radvaz says. The mitzvah to live there is the whole Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't have to be.
Practically speaking, when he sounds of his favorite moments today, for Shemitah, can you grow these greenhouses there? Is that
below terrain? Well, the greenhouses may, you mean it's the ground, it's the regular ground, but it's,
ground,
so according to this map, it depends on which nachal you go. I don't know, I'm not familiar what they do. If they could have a potter from Shemitah, that would be a welcome thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Az itself is Az also come.
Az is Eretz Yisrael, no question. Az is one of the five already. I should have no question. Ashkelon, the Rambam says, is Chutz Eretz Yisrael by Eli Bavel. Eli Bavel didn't capture Ashkelon. Eretz Yisrael did.
So Az is then subject Shemitah.
Yeah, Midrabanan for sure. The question is only if it's Dereisa. But it's Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I, this is the base. This. Mikra Megillah has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. It has to do with the Yoris and Mukafas. right? Some Mikra Megillah is something else, right? As it was cities on Mukafis, so we don't know any cities Mukafis, except for sure Yerushalayim and Tver is a Suffolk. We don't know what other cities were Mukafis. I don't know what they do in Akko, I have no idea.
Why is Akko so low here?
Why Akko is so low?
Yeah, it's
right. Akko is by the bump. Akko and Yaffa are considered twin cities. Akko is slightly too high. It should be slightly lower. If you stand at Akko, you can see the port of Haifa. Do you ever stand at the fortress of Akko, the land? See that bend? That's where Akko is, by the above the bend, and Haifa is under the bend. What? Ashkelon? Okay, I don't know what they do there. I have no idea. I have no idea. It depends what they did there. What? I don't know. I don't know if that's totally in either Babel or Mitzrayim. I don't know. Levi Eretz Yisrael, the Radvaz says, is Eile Mitzrayim. Dor Eretz Yisrael, he says, is Eile Mitzrayim. I assume the issue of 2 days Yantif has to do with the 15 days traveling time from Yerushalayim. Because, right, anybody who was close enough to get the messengers come kept 1 day. It doesn't have to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, it has to do with the distance. All right, there's a lot more that can be discussed on the topic. Anybody who wants to pursue it further, Chaim, he has a lot on the map of Eretz Yisrael. It's a gift, really. His when you learn Gittin, and I feel bad, most of my Gidei Shir have no clue about the Derech Amunah because it's not the traditional Sefer on the Masechta because it's a relatively new Sefer. Without it, you can't learn the maps. I think they skip it anyway, or they don't get that far in the Masechta. I mean, it's the second half of the Mishnah. But a Chai Knievsky asked the Kasha, could Tzvas be outside of Eretz Yisrael? Akko is the north. Tzvas is outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Reb Chaim has a piece there where he shows that the boundaries of the Mishnah and Gittin are a rectangle. Or is that the absolute boundaries? You could draw straight line, they're rectangles. There were fingers that protruded, like Miyako Luxiv, the Gemara says, there were pieces of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael that protruded, and that's only a rectangular area, that's the boundaries. So, as I said, there's a lot more to talk about the map, but the basics is at least the fact that there are so many difficulties with resolving the Pesukim and Parshas Maaseh with the reality of the map, and there's Torah on it, but it's something that for some reason we don't know. Almost everyone agrees that Eilat is Chutz Laaretz. I have my
days,
I have my three mysteries of Eretz Yisrael that I never were resolved, and one of them is the status of Eilat. Eilat, according to all the history books, is a new city. I've seen photographs in the Encyclopedia Judaica. They have photographs of when they started Eilat. They have a picture of when they came. You see, it's all sand, and they started the city of Eilat. What? They putting up a flag. Yeah. So Eilat appears to be a new city. It doesn't mean it was never a city. It could be it was a city that was destroyed, but as it is, it's a new city. Everyone seems to agree Eilat is chutz from the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. But we find Eilat in Nach. We find by Yehoshaphat, the pasuk says Yehoshaphat built boats to sail from Eilat. So Eilat is, where is it? Where's Eilat? It's not in the Mediterranean. And there are boats. Where are the boats? In the Yam HaMelech? It's not Mestaber. The Gemara says boats can't go in the Yam HaMelech. Yam HaMelech eats up the boats. Where are they going to go anyway? The Yarden. It would say Yarden. So what exactly is the Eilat of Tanakh? I don't know the answer. I've never seen an explanation of Eilat. What? Etzem Gever is what? So that I don't know. Could be. I missed it. I don't know.
So the people who keep 2 days.
But come to Chumash. Neilat v'ad Etzem Gever. It says in the Devarim. Okay. All right. Let me put the map aside. What?
The other two.
I don't want to make anyone into an apikiris. I have to be very careful. One of my mysteries is Kever Rachel. I don't understand. Well, we have Kever Rachel. It's the right place. I'm asking Kashis. I'm not slugging up. I have a lot of difficulties with Kever Rachel. Number one, the Ramban says that Rachel died at the border of Eretz Yisrael because Yaakov kept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, he had two wives. When he entered Eretz Yisrael, Rachel died. Why Rachel? Not Leah, but Rachel died, so he shouldn't be married to two wives. It's hard for me to see that where Kever Rachel is today is the boundary of Eretz Yisrael according to any map. That's number one. No, he carried her in. He tells Yosef, I buried her right where she died. And number two, the Pasuk says clearly that when they went to Galus, to Bavel, they passed Kever Rachel. Rachel is buried there, so they should go. We know the last stronghold by the Korban was Yerushalayim. Now look at your map. You see Yerushalayim? You see Hebron? Rachel is buried halfway between Yerushalayim and Hebron. It's like a segol of the dot would be there. Why would anybody traveling north from Yerushalayim pass Kever Rachel? Why would you pass Kever Rachel, which is south of Yerushalayim? They had a highway. As people tell me, the archaeologists had a highway. They had a highway. They're moving millions of people, and they're going to move them miles this way to go around. It could be. They let me answer. Doesn't say it's part of Eretz Yisrael.
No, no, no. Okay. I wish everyone pressed this year as well. They're in July.
You're right.
It's going to be the road. All right. The third one. The third question I had, and again, I don't mean to be an apikiris on this, is the, when you go down at the foot of the Kaisel, we have a Kabbalah that at least the bottom three rows of the Kaisel are still original stones from the Beis HaMikdash. Shalom is Beis HaMikdash, whichever Beis HaMikdash, are the original stones. It's puzzling because at least one of the stones that they show you when you go down in the tunnel tours is a stone that's pretty clear from the time of Hordis. The other stones don't seem to be from the time of Hordis. They call it, I think, the elephant stone, or there's a gigantic stone, and it appears to be, now it could be it's not from Hordis, but it just seems to be a little bit of a difficulty with what's Mekubal Etzleinu. Now, I once mentioned these questions. It was from an archaeologist that was visiting here from Eretz Yisrael. I asked him the first two questions. He didn't have good answers for, but on this one, he said he has an answer. When you go down, he said you're actually traveling not where the Kaisel is, but further to the, I guess it's to the east or the southeast of the Kaisel. That stone is under the Hordis extension of the Kaisel. It's not under the Kaisel itself. That was his answer. I was only there once, so the way I picture it, it didn't seem that way. But it may well be that was his answer on this third question. I did discuss it. I repeat it. People ask me. It's the same difficulty. Okay. Be that as it may. Let's learn the Sif in Shulchan Aruch. Yud Aleph is what I want to go to. Again, those who want Laman Hashlam Asin, you should learn Vav Zayin Ches Tes and Yud, which you'll see are not Nogeya. Yud Aleph is the Sif that discusses the difference between Truma Derabanan and Truma Deraisa. When we started, I mentioned to you, we keep the Rabbanans today, at least in the Orthodox circles, and Lamaisa, the Rabbanan Deraisas are the same. There is a Nafkamina, and the Nafkamina is Sif Yud Aleph. Now, bear with me, because you're going to jump to conclusions, you get it wrong. Shutvis Avik Chavim Chayevis Betrumas Umaisris, Ketza. A shutfis of a guy in a yid, I don't know, today there may be farms or land, that shutfis of a guy in a yid, it's chayiv and trumas umaisus. But there's no period. It says ketzad. How does this work? Yisrova yikhavim shalakhu sadeh bishutfis. Afilu chokal asada bekamasa. Even if after it grew into a kaima, they divided it. I mean, tzarch loimar im chokal gadish. And certainly, if they already harvested it and divided the silo of wheat, hare tevo v'chulin muravin b'chol klach v'klach mechalko she'eve kechav. Now, the guy's chalik is potter. The yid's chalik is chayiv. Let's say they're 50-50 shutfim. Every molecule of straw, of stalk, every molecule of wheat is a mixture of shal gaiv shal yehudi. Even if physically it was the guy who did the miruach. The chayavim midivrayim, and it's all chayiv midivrayim midrabanan. Bedivar Mamur Beretz Yisrael, Shamaisa Shaltaira, Bishaltaira in Breira. We're talking here in Eretz Yisrael proper, with the Oile Bavalwar, because Ein Breira. Breira is a Shas Sugya, which is defined as retroactive designation. Retroactive designation means, Breira means, we do Breira every summer. We put on the first, before the first Shabbos in the summer, we put an Erev Tchumen. And we say, I'm kind it for anybody who will decide in a future week that he wants to be part of the Erev, he's kind it from now retroactively. Tchumen is the Rabbanan, Erev Tchumen is the Rabbanan. So by the Rabbanan we say Yesh Breira. In Eretz Yisrael proper, Mishal Torah Ein Breira. So if the guy in the Yid divides the wheat, we don't Ein Breira, you can't say that this was the Yid's already when it grew. Avo. Place where Chumas and Maisis are Rabbanan. Even though they divide as a Gadish, the guy's Chalik is Pata. Venerally, this is an important line. As long as it's not Roiv Yisrael al Admasam, so the Chi of Chumas and Maisris is the Rabbanan Gam Be'eretz Yisrael, Chalko Shev Kechavim Patim Eklom. So now, the Yid's Chalik is still Chayiv. The Goy's Chalik, in the Shutfis, is going to be Patim of Chumas and Maisris, and this because of Breira. In other words, what? So Breira means the part that goes to the Goy is considered the Goy's Meikara, it's Pater. Part goes to the Yid is the Yid's Meikara, and it's Chayiv, when they divide it. What? They say, this is yours, this is mine. That's the way it would work. If they have a business, an export business, and they never divide it, so it's weiter. Murav and Zebizah, and again, you have a chiyuv. If they do it originally, they can do it that way. Before it grows, that's before it grows. But, now this is the din. Now, I mentioned to you last week, I don't remember the name of the exporter, Dorot, D-O-R-O-T, is Eretz Yisrael's largest exporter of yarukas, of carrots and the vegetables that come to Chutz La'aretz. And in 2016, I went to my emails and I put in Dorot. In 2016, Kehila had the shaila what to do. One of our stores had used these carrots and cooked it in a pot. The shaila would be had to kasher or not. So we had to go and find out in Eretz Yisrael. At that time, it had an ishur that was not questionable reliability. However, today, I think David Scott had sent me a picture. He said, I bought carrots, and the bag says product of Israel. And it said Dorot, so I sent him back that Dorot, between 2016 and this year, got Rabbi Efrati's Hechsher, which is a reliable Hechsher. And he sent me back. I missed it. There was on the outer package or something a hechsher. So that the most of the carrots, certainly, I think of the vegetables that are exported from Eretz Yisrael, are good. The Jaffa oranges, there's a notice upstairs on the bulletin board. Some of the Jaffa oranges are exported with the hechsher of the OU. I think has a second hechsher that they separate Trumas and Maisris. The kashrus is not an issue with Trumas and Maisris and Orla. And so it comes with the Hechsher if it's labeled. If it's labeled with the Hechsher, then that's reliable. So that's if you're Aleph. Now it's going to be Negeya, and we say it'll be Rav Yisrael al Admasam, it'll be Chayim and Atayra, my Nafkamina. So we know one Nafkamina, Legabe, the Halachas of Breiras. If you'd base, we'll do next week.